Good afternoon, folks, and welcome to Alaska Gold Trails. I'm your host, Jim Madonna, from the University of Alaska Fairbanks Mining Extension. This is your radio show on mining in Alaska, past, present, and future. More specifically, folks, gold mining in Alaska's misty past, controversial present, and mysterious future. I'll be with you here on KFAR 660 on your radio dial each Thursday from 1 to 2 p.m., where we can discuss the entire spectrum of mining in Alaska, from the fascinating and colorful history of the major and minor gold rushes to the most recent gold prospecting and mining techniques. Also, we will have special guests to discuss different mining-related topics. Most of all, my friends, give us a call if you have a question or care to make a comment on mining in Alaska. Or maybe you just want to chat for a few minutes or want to share one of your favorite frontier experiences. The number is 479-TALK. That's 479-8255. Let's talk gold mining through the years along Alaska Gold Trails. Good afternoon, folks. I'd like to bring you up to date on a few things. As many of you know, last week we had a nice contest in which a chap won a 1 ounce silver ingot from Oxford Assaying and Refining, your precious metals people. And I want to remind the listening audience that I have five very special people who support this program, and from time to time we have contests. And these contests revolve around those particular sponsors. These include Hector's Welding, which is located at 13 Mile Richardson Highway near North Pole. And their phone number is 488-6432. Oxford Assaying and Refining, your precious metal people, located at 208 Wendell Street. Their phone number is 456-3967. And they also have a special quote line, 452-7858. And, of course, that number, that quote line, is where you call to find out the prices of, or the current prices of, gold, silver, and platinum. We have B&L Pawn at the corner of Gaffney and Cushman, and their phone number is 452-6491. The Ranch Dinner House, their phone number is 456-6600. They're located at 2223 Cushman Street. That's 2223 Cushman Street. And of course, the Ranch Motel right next door at 452-4783. They're again located at 2223 Cushman Street. And you want to keep, of course, these sponsors, as well as Gabe's Truck and Auto, located off Van Horn Road near Metro Field, their phone number 456-6156. And just so you understand clearly what we're speaking about here, from time to time, we'll have contests regarding these five sponsors. Prizes, nice prizes, such as 1 ounce silver ingots, will be given away. And the questions that we will ask will be something like who they are, where they are, and what they do. And we'd like to know in detail what they do. For example, what does B&L Pawn do? Well, as a matter of fact, B&L Pawn offers a wide variety of services, which include a lot of information. And as many of you know, they were recently featured on the backside of the telephone book, and they are fully covered there in a beautiful ad. 2 weeks ago, we had a contest regarding the ad on the back end of the telephone book, and I understand today that if you take your telephone book down to B&L Pawn Shop, that killer down there will personally autograph that photo and on the back of the phone book, just to give you an idea of what kind of offerings they have at B&L. They have traditionally offered tremendous savings, but in addition, they have what might be considered a giant garage sale in one room. And as a matter of fact, one-stop shopping will get you just about everything. to give you this, give you an idea, they have jewelry, clocks, stereos, headphones, guns, scopes, winches, propane bottles, tools, hats, musical instruments, cameras, TVs, radios, typewriters, and the list goes on and on and on. And in fact, you can get anything at B&L Pawn. If your money is a little bit tight, they'll be happy to help you out. Bring in anything you feel is of value or use, and the folks at B&L will loan you the money to get through to better days. Or if you sell items on consignment, they'll work with you on that too. So if you're looking for anything from snowshoes to diamond rings, see the folks at B&L Pawn, 605 Gaffney. Jim Bruce and Killer will be happy to deal. Killer never says no. They'll sell anything but the chandelier, and only then because it's attached. However, if you really want to talk hard, I suppose Killer will even sell that. That's B&L Pawn, corner of Gaffney and Cushman. 452-6491 is their number. They're open 9 to 7, Monday through Friday, 9 to 5 on Saturday, and 12 to 5 on Sunday. And remember, do me a favor. Tell Killer you heard it here on Alaska Gold Trails from Jim Madonna, and she'll sweeten the deal. How's that? Now, you ready to have a little contest? In just a minute, we're going to have my guest, Vern Stepp, join me here in the on the microphone, and we're going to talk about mining in Alaska and some other kinds of adventures that Vern has had in his life. However, before we do that, let's have a little contest. I'll tell you what. For the first person that will give me a call here and tell me what the precious metal prices are according to Oxford Assaying and Refining's quote line, that's 452-7858. Oxford Assaying and Refining, your precious metal people, said they will give a 1 ounce silver round for the first person that will call me here on Alaska Gold Trails and give us the precious metal prices at Oxford Assaying and Refining. And our number here is 479-TALK. That's 479-8255. And we've got a call right off the bat. Hi there, you're on the air.
Hi, gold is $421.50, silver is $6.41, platinum is $577.70. That's according to Oxford's quote line as of November 3.
How did you get those answers so fast?
Well, I called them earlier today.
Oh, good boy. Do you know, have you ever been over to Oxford and looked at some of the other items and services that they offer?
Yeah, it's pretty exciting to see some of the coins they've got over there.
Uh-huh. And what's your name?
John Rathbun.
John, you keep coming in on here. You must have me pegged.
I listened to your show. You ought to know that by now, right?
I know it now, don't I?
This great.
This is the second time you won. And it was interesting to note last week that you had quite a commentary, and you did a very good personal testimonial on the ranch dinner house, and I appreciate that. And I thank you very much for listening to the show. And you know what you've done. You've won yourself another ounce of silver.
All right.
And I appreciate you participating in the contest.
Well, thanks for having the contest, Jim.
Well, thank you, John.
Bye now.
Bye. Well, John Rathbun has once again prevailed and won a silver ingot. Well, right now, folks, I want to introduce you to our guest, Vern Stepp. And Vern, welcome to Alaska Gold Trails.
Well, Jim, thank you very much. I listen to your show as much as I can because I understand you've had it on a while, but we just got back from the mine here about 2 weeks ago, retrieving some equipment down for winter restoration. And I certainly enjoy your show. I think it's something that our local people here and our military should probably get more abreast on, just what this mining is all about, Jim.
Well, it's an interesting area to be involved, Vern. I've been very happy with the mining community in the state of Alaska. The people are great, it's a great lifestyle. Vern, what we want to hear about today is we want to know about your life and how you came to make your decision to come to Alaska. Where were you born, Vern?
I was born in Rochester, Minnesota. A number of years ago, my little twerp on this is I and Lincoln are the same age. I always say that. Is he still president, by the way, Jim?
Well, I don't think so, Vern, but tell me, did you, when were you born? What was the year?
Oh, Jim, that you shouldn't do that.
That's classified information.
The feminine part about me, I hate to reveal, but I was born in 1921.
1921. Well, what kind of environment were you born in? You don't appear to me to be a city-type boy. Were you a city-type boy?
No, Jim, I am not. My father was a farmer there, and both there, and then later we moved down into Iowa, and there we farmed for many, many years, farming with cattle, horses, and the likes of that. The whole bit that takes to put farming together, I have done it.
And when you say the whole bit that it takes to put farming together, do you mean like did you ride horses and round up the cows and milk the cows and shovel the, well, whatever you do?
Yeah, Jim, we sure did. We milked, between my dad and my brother and I, we milked approximately 30 cows by hand. And Jim, you know, I got to take you back in history, if I may. Those days, you had a windmill and you had a small tank and a milk house is what was referred to underneath the windmill. And that's where you used to set your milk. And one of the most disgusting things were if you were at the beginning of the route. Now, you got to turn yourself back to the point where they hauled the milk about 7 miles with a team and a wagon box. And you put your milk in there. As soon as you got your milk in cans, you put it down in the cold water, and then he would come by and pick it up. And of course, if you were at the beginning of the route, it put you up to where, time-wise, you had about 6 o'clock in the morning, you had to have your milk out there for that man to pick up.
Uh-huh. And you did a lot of horseback riding in those days,
loved
too, didn't
it.
You?
Horses were most of my life, both in draft horses and in saddle horses. Lived with those rascals, and I love them very, very much.
What's a draft horse?
Well, Jim, draft horses are considered a heavier horse to use as plowing, disking, dragging, and those are usually Perchins, Clydesdales, and Belgians. They're the largest breed of horses. However, the Clydesdale is not the largest horse. The Belgian horse is by far larger. And my dad raised those. That's they docked their tails those days. That was part of the thing they thought they had to do to that horse. But those were prize horses for the field work. They weighed a stallion would weigh 2,300, and a mare would reach up around 17, 18, 20 to a ton. That's the size of that horse. Your saddle horses, of course, are they measure those in hands, which a 16 hand horse is a pretty good size horse. But they're much lighter.
Mm-hmm. So you took care of all the chores around the ranch, out around the farm. It wasn't
everything
a ranch, it was a farm.
Everything you could think of, Jim. I've seen the time when we had, like beside the milk cattle, we had about 100 head of sheep. And I've seen the time where you didn't take your shoes off for 2 days, Jim. You would be with the lambs and with the yos. And they're bearing those little ones, and usually in March, and very cold, and you had to make sure that they were dry and get up and nurse. That was you were kind of a veterinarian. You're kind of the whole ball of wax out there, Jim.
Mm-hmm. What was the nearest town? Just for those people who were from your area, what town were you nearby?
Was farming in Iowa. That would be in the town of near Waukon, West Union, Fayette, Decorah, in that area, upper northeastern corner.
Mm-hmm. Well, what prompted you, and in what year did you flee the nest?
Well, Jim, very rarely did anyone leave the nest much before they were 20, 21, and I was just a few months before 21 when I left and went to San Diego, California, which would be in December of 41.
December of 41.
Yeah, and in fact...
What made you decide to go to California?
Well, there was the fence jobs were beginning to take the leading role those days. You could go to get riveting and machinist schooling. They had a lot of schools out. They knew that there was going to be a war, and therefore my brother was out there in San Diego, and I went out to join him out there.
So then we were preparing for that war effort.
We definitely were. They weren't. It wasn't really. You didn't hear much about it, but they knew it was bound to happen.
You participated in a way in the war, didn't you, Vern?
Yeah, I had 3.5 years there in that man's service, which I enjoyed very much, with the exception that it was a little bit hairy at that time, mm-hmm. during the 41 on up.
Mm-hmm. Just where did you serve first?
Well, it was at San Diego, and then I was moved to Kodiak, and there I spent about 6-7 months there on a very touchy government situation, and then back to San Diego again.
Mm-hmm. So that was your first taste of Alaska in Kodiak, is
it?
Right?
It grabbed on to me, Jim. It really grabbed on to me. I used to spend my every moment I had out in the rural area of Alaska to just love being out there, and it has a beauty here that is nowhere else in the world.
Mm-hmm. So you were that was the moment there, the time that. That set you in your eyesights towards Alaska, perhaps?
I was gonna be in Alaska. If that war ever got over, I'm coming back, and I sure did.
Is that right?
You bet.
Well, look, I'd like to talk a little bit more about that, Vern, just after a few messages here.
Once upon a time, there was a shepherd boy who was desperate for attention. This young man would cry, "Wolf!" when there was none. All the townspeople ran to his aid, brandishing swords and pitchforks, only to find the wolf was the product of the young man's imagination. This went on for several days, but each time fewer and fewer people came. Eventually, no one believed the little boy. The voters of District 21 have been hearing lots of cries of wolf from Niilo Kopanen's campaign, but they just aren't true. Look in Saturday's News Miner. The Kopanen campaign admittedly ran an ad that contained lies about Fred Shikora.
"I'm Fred Shikora. The voters of District 21 want a leader who tells the truth. I focus my campaign on the record, not on hearsay. So the next time you hear a negative ad about Fred Shikora, just remember the boy who cried wolf."
Paid by Shikora for State House, Box 1209, Fairbanks.
How do you define living the good life? In his own words, Fred Shikora has lived the good life since retiring in 1976, hunting and fishing here in the summer, with winters often in Mexico at his home there. For Niilo Kopanen, living the good life is quite different. It's working as a volunteer fireman and medic. It's helping start up and organize the Northern Schools Credit Union. It's volunteer work for the Tananaw Valley Fair and Fairbanks Crisis Line. And it's founding the Fairbanks Head Start Association. Now, isn't it nice having a representative whose good life improves all our lives? Let's stay with Niilo Kopanen on November 8th.
Niilo stood the heat for UAF. Niilo took the power for local hire. Niilo Kopanen gets things done.
Paid by Kopanen Campaign, 612 Spruce-Wood, Fairbanks.
The way the lifetime service guarantee really works at Seekins Ford Lincoln Mercury, it's based on a philosophy and a promise. The professional commitment of service technicians like John Bickish when he has an opportunity to work on your car.
Treat it like my own. Yeah, I try to do the best job I can, like it was my own personal vehicle.
John Bickish promises you he'll do the best job possible on your car, and Ralph guarantees those repairs for life. Ford's exclusive lifetime guarantee service policy.
We'll show you how it works right here, right now, at Seekins Ford Lincoln Mercury.
We're here today with Vern Stepp, and he's currently a miner up in the Central District here in Alaska. And if you have a question of Vern or have some comment that you would like to make about mining in Alaska today, our number here is 479-TALK. That's 479-8255. This is Jim Adana on Alaska Gold Trail, so give us a call. Vern, you said you went up to Kodiak. You spent some time there. You love the outdoors. Give us a few comments about what kind of outdoor things you did in Kodiak. Did you say you hiked and you were?
All my spare time when I wasn't with the military, that's where you found me. You'd find me out there prospecting out in the outlying area, and I enjoyed that very much.
Vern, you got a call here. Let's see what's.
Go ahead.
Hi there. You're on the air.
Hi. I'm wondering how to get started in gold mining as far as in the Fairbanks area. How do I know where it's safe and I won't be trespassing on someone else's claim or anything like that?
There's departments here which will tell you who owns the mine or the claim to where you can go, and Jim, what department is that right down here?
Division of Geological,
yes,
and Geophysical Surveys. They're located at the corner of airport and university, and you can go down there to get information regarding the locations of claims that exist now. You can go to the Bureau of Land Management to determine whether the ground is open for staking, And, of course, you can also go to the Bureau of Land Management to find out whether or not there are recreational sites available to the casual or the recreational miner.
Yeah, I know about the one on, I think it's on, in the White Mountains. They've got an area set up, but I didn't know of any other place other than mm-hmm. that.
So with that in mind, that's the major areas. Also, you might gather information from some of the other agencies. The Fish and Game have some regulations, and the Division of Mining here in the also, I believe, located at the corner of University and Airport.
Okay.
Will also provide you with some information. So those are the three places to start and kind of get the geographic area lined out that you want to visit and mm-hmm. go from there.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Thank you for the call.
Bye-bye.
Okay, Vern, following your experiences, like you were saying, you were outdoors quite a bit on Kodiak Island, and then from Kodiak Island, where did you go?
Went back to San Diego, and then I was given another MOS by the service, and then finished my tour there. Which was surprising, the chores that they gave me, which was in the entertainment world, of booking for the service various types of entertainers and recreation for the military. That I enjoyed very much. I got a chance to meet some real, real celebrities, the Bob Hope, the Bing Crosby, and the likes of that, and that was very exciting. But then, of course, my tour was over at 3.5 years, and I went back to the Iowa and Minnesota area.
And what did you do there?
There I logged for about almost 4.5 years and enjoyed that very much. Building roads, logging, using the chainsaw, the crosscut in the beginning and then into the chainsaws and then from there into the construction with Peter Kiewit, Morris Knudsen, and S.J. Groves.
So you were operating heavy equipment?
Yeah, heavy equipment, uh-huh. Drag lines, scrapers, the likes of that.
And you got into some pretty big jobs, didn't you?
Oh, yes. Yes, yeah. We sure did. The tollway coming up through Chicago at 294, and the along the river on the four-lane highway going to Minneapolis, that kind of a large construction work.
Mm-hmm. What year were you attracted back to Alaska?
That never left me, Jim.
Never left me.
It's just that I was raising a family there in that immediate area, and in Wisconsin at that time, I raised five children, and four boys and a girl. And Jim, I'm kind of fortunate. I have one of them up here with me. He lives out in Chena Hot Springs Road, Jim Stepp, and a very good boy. Mm-hmm. He now works and runs a crew at the on the base out here mm-hmm. at Wainwright. I guess that calling of coming back to Alaska just never leaves you. There's something about it. Once you drink of this water, you want to return and get another canteen of that water.
And what year did you return?
I returned back in 76. Yeah, I came on back up again, and I'd been here a number of times back and forth, but that's when I decided this is it. I've got to come back here and get into that mining.
Mm-hmm. And didn't you have somewhat of an adventure coming back into to Alaska?
Jim, yeah, I did mention that briefly. In fact, if you would, I think I gave you a letter. You still have it, Jim. I think we all, whether we're miners or military or housewife or whatever, you've got something you're going to do someday. And so many things interfere with that, you can't get it done. Now, it may sound a little silly, the thing you want to do, but I didn't look at it that way. As a youngster out there on the ranch, I said, someday I'm going to saddle up one of these horses, and I'm not just going out to get the cows or the rest of the horses for field work. I'm going to get on that horse, and I'm going to Alaska. Well, Jim, I'd say it was probably many, many years later, 20 or 30 some years later, I did do just exactly that. I went back from here, worked out three horses, and I worked them out quite severely, because you're going through a 4th of July, you could somebody could throw a book of firecrackers out and upset you. Worked with these horses and got them worked out 2.5 months, and then left a little town called Kansasville, Wisconsin, which is 30 miles south of Milwaukee. Little ways from Union Grove. A lot of the kids know where Union Grove is. That's the Great Lakes Dragaway Strip down there. And I left with three head of horses, And I rode from there here to this Fairbanks town, 4,186 miles, and I know every mile of it.
My goodness.
And it took me about 14 months to make that trip. There was some hardship in there, but that comes with all the rest of the territory. I knew it was out there, but I made it, and pretty lucky I didn't get hurt.
You really had an experience, didn't you?
Well, I did, and I was with the Canadians almost 10 months coming up through there. The hottest day was, hottest day I traveled was 111. I had almost a week of 10 days of that down in the Pierce, South Dakota area. And by that token, you know it's out there. You know it's there. It's all self-inflicted wound. But point is, from there to 47 below, which was at the summit over in British Columbia. That was quite severe. That was very, very severe. But there again, I'd planned the trip to where I'd be off the highway, off the main highway and into the Alcan Highway at the time of winter. It sounds a little strange you'd do that, but there again, you don't have the problems of motorhomes and tourists and the likes of that.
Vern, what I want to do is I want to read this letter that was sent to you by our Governor Jay Hammond at the time. And right after a couple of these messages here.
It does seem like NBC is making sure tonight is the hottest night of the week, TV-wise, that is. Continued laughs from Cosby and Judd Hirsch's new hit, Dear John. But if sex is more your thing, well, hey, we've got lots of that, too. On A Different World, Whitney has erotic dreams. On Cheers, Sam learns he may have fathered an illegitimate child. Tonight's L.A. Law is titled, Hey, Lick Me Over. Good family viewing, eh? Speaking of which, Phil Donahue held a strippers party on his show yesterday, and Geraldo Rivera mud-wrestled with some lovely ladies today. Gee, you think it could be rating period? Dynasty moves to Thursday nights starting tonight, and John Forsythe promises that show's going to be different this year.
We have a new producer and with some new writers and new directors, and there's a whole new look to the show, and with an air of mystery about it. And I can't tell you anymore.
Well, I love a mystery, don't you? I'm Joanna Langfield.
By now, you've probably heard of University Resume Service Alaska. Hi, I'm Phil Deischer, owner of University Resume. University Resume Service has been producing custom resumes in Fairbanks for 8 years. We are a professional writing business, and we have helped literally hundreds of people from every trade and profession sell themselves on paper. Professional writing is more than just typing. Indeed, professional writing is a unique skill, the way every profession is unique. Professional writing applied to your resume can give you the edge in landing the interview, which could lead to the job you want. A resume, which has numerous uses, usually takes about 2 hours to write. No more struggling over how to sell yourself on paper. In 2 hours or less, University Resume can have you armed with a custom resume and seeking the job you need for the career you want. For any kind of career writing, from resumes to loan applications, federal form SF-171 federal and state applications, call University Resume Service Alaska at 479-5747. For all types of professional writing, we're in the yellow pages under resumes.
Hi, this is Jim Madonna for Days In, downtown Anchorage, Alaska. Whether you're traveling for business or pleasure, at the Days Inn Anchorage, you can expect personal service, quality accommodations, and affordable rates. The downtown Anchorage Days Inn Hotel offers 116 rooms, each decorated with furnishings and amenities you expect from the expensive lodging chains. With its convenient location, quality accommodations, and friendly staff, there is no better lodging choice in the city. Traveling to the last frontier is truly a unique experience that should not be missed by anyone. You will have an opportunity to witness some of the most beautiful scenery imaginable just a short distance from the Anchorage Days Inn Hotel. A favorite with Fairbanks travelers, the Days Inn Anchorage offers economy and convenience. Located downtown, you are within easy walking distance of all downtown businesses and popular tourist attractions. We invite you to visit the Anchorage Days Inn Hotel. You will experience a relaxed atmosphere designed with your comfort in mind and an efficient, friendly staff to assist you with your special needs. That's Days Inn, downtown Anchorage, Alaska. For reservations, call 800-325-2525. That's 800-325-2525. Once again, folks, we're here on KFAR Radio, 660 on your radio dial. Today's guest is Vern Stepp. And, of course, Vern and I were just talking about his tremendous trip on horseback up to Alaska. And I wanted to read a letter that was sent to Vern from Governor Jay Hammond on September 12, 1979. Dear Mr. Stepp, congratulations on your successful trip by horseback from Kansasville, Wisconsin to Fairbanks. That was quite an undertaking, which I understand gives you an entry in the Guinness Book of World Records. I am pleased and proud that Alaska, as your destination, inspired that kind of effort on your part. I appreciate, too, your acting as courier, as in the old West days, to deliver to me letters from the Honorable Donald E. Taylor, Speaker of the Yukon Legislative Assembly, the Honorable Andrew Shuck, Mayor of Fort Nelson, and the Honorable Don Brannigan, Mayor of Whitehorse. I feel you should have the original of these letters as mementos of your trip. I will keep copies for my files. My warmest regards, sincerely, J.S. Hammond, Governor. Well, Vern, you really had an experience there, had a lot of recognition. Tell us about some of the adventures that took place on your trip.
Well, Jim, I think the public should hear about the CB, if I may tell that, a little bit about that. CB on a horse, this is something you can put one in your car, you can put one in your briefcase, you can put one in your suitcase, whatever, but you just don't put a CB on a horse. Now this, so they'll just blow them, they'll just tear up those truckers, they get so shook up over. Let me give you a little example, Jim, if I may. After working on these trucks, I know each motor, I can tell them when they're coming on, whether it's a Cummings or whether it's a Detroit, and these guys are coming along. Now whether it would be, if you can imagine, if you were like in British Columbia or Alberta or Montana, it does make a bit of difference. There's no way he can adjust to the fact that you're on a horse to the CB. For an example, the first driver will come up and he says, here's something you don't see on Highway 2 coming into Alberta, is a two-pack horses and a saddle horse. The guy in the back says, give me a 10-9 on that, which means repeat it. He says, there's a guy up here with the two pack horses and a saddle horse. Oh, well, he says, you look when you come by, but I think he's got a CB on that horse. No one has an antenna sticking up. I had a 4-foot Shakespeare antenna sticking up on my saddle horn. And he said, give me a 1090. He says, I think he's got a CB on that horse. You look when you come by. So he thinks he's gone now, and the other guy from the rear is coming up on me. I can hear him coming, and he says, by gosh, I believe he does have a CB on that horse. Well, to get your attention, he would say, old-timer, prospector, cowboy, you got a CB on that horse? And my CB, the mic and the speaker, was in the head, which I kept on the first button on my shirt in the front here. And I'd answer him, and he'd say, you got a CB on that horse? I'd say, I got a CB on here. Come on back. He said, did you hear that? He says, he talked to me. For some reason, he gets the idea that you're not supposed to be talking off of a horse. Well, it's just as comfortable there, and it was very helpful. You come into a town, and now you don't know exactly where the feed is, and which that was a very critical thing, traveling at that distance, to have enough feed for your horses. So you'd radio, ask someone for the feed store, and immediately they would tell you where it's at. Now, it could be in a low-profile building, which is a feed store, so you don't know what part of town it is. So it was very helpful in having one.
Well, you know, that's kind of interesting aspect of the trip.
Well, it was another thing, the truckers. Now, I've got to give those truckers credit because so many times on that Elcan, they would ask me, and you see, we're all orientated to refrigerators, electric stoves. Well, you have to turn yourself back to about 1850 because there is no refrigerators. There is no stove of that nature. So keeping things like bread and things like that in the heated summer is very critical. And in the winter, so you can't keep eggs. You don't keep eggs on a saddle horse. So I kind of sharpened up a little bit. I took a thermos bottle, and when they'd bring me the eggs, I'd crack the eggs and put them in there. Well, at least I had eggs for my pancakes and scrambled eggs for breakfast. And they would bring me, this trucker would be coming by, to, for an example, into Fort Nelson. I'm 30 miles from Fort Nelson, And he says, which my CB handle is rawhide. You can appreciate why I would use that in the saddle that long. And he would say, he'd holler out for me, rawhide, where are you? Well, mile so-and-so. How's your food? Well, it's pretty good. We're short a loaf of bread. And within a few hours, he would be in Fort Nelson or whatever the town should be ahead. And he would tell that trucker would stop and bring me back a loaf of bread. And occasionally they would have a T-bone steak in that sack pork chops or something like that. They knew it was impossible for me to carry on those horses.
Yeah.
And they did help all the way along, including hay, oats. One time a logging truck come on me, Jim, I got to tell you about this. They'd heard I was short of hay. And I'm now in British Columbia, way up. I'm up in there about just a little ways, Fort Nelson. And this logging truck was coming by. And Jim, he had 11 bales of hay on that truck. And now where am I going to put 11 bales of hay on three horses? But they did go ahead and drop it off where I asked them to in about the amount of 25 miles a day to 30 miles. And they would drop it off in those areas, open areas, and I'd be coming on this come evening, and there'd be a bale of hay.
Mm-hmm.
So they took very good care of me.
You were able then to cover about 25 miles a day then, Vern?
25 miles a day is about the best you can do because those horses are out there every day. And you must understand, for especially to the youngsters now who are listening to this story, that your horses have to be well taken care of. Don't take it upon yourself to make a trip like that until you talk to somebody who knows horses. There was a special pad I used underneath the between the horse's hoof and the horseshoe itself, which was specially designed in Ohio for that trip. And also to take good care of those horses, because a horse normally is made to walk on soft ground. And I have this horse up on the shoulder of the road, sometimes on the blacktop and snow-covered road. So he's got to, 25 miles a day is a good distance for that horse for that day.
Good. I want to talk about how you came into the Fairbanks area in just a minute, right after this announcement.
Bourbon's policy of common sense economics is why I'm supporting him.
He's a man of conviction. He's forthright. He tells it as it is. And you can depend on him.
When you find a man like Urban Rahoy that's still dealing honestly and realistically in this day and age, I tell you, you've got a rare commodity.
Urban Rahoy is concerned about the future of Fairbanks, and I think he's concerned about all of the interior.
Paid for by the committee to elect Urban Rahoy, 1001 Lakeview Terrace, Bob Battisworth, chairman.
Vern, I want to talk about a very special sponsor I have here on Alaska Gold Trails for just a moment, and that's Gabe's Truck and Auto. You know, it was interesting to note that when I first started Alaska Gold Trails, it was about a year ago at this time, and I was surprised to see Gabe's Truck and Auto coming on as one of the major sponsors. It's the interesting part of that was that I had been trading with Gabe's Truck and Auto for years prior to taking over the radio station. It seemed like quite a interesting coincidence that they should be the sponsor of the show. And I can almost give a personal testimonial to the fact that Gabe's Truck and Auto has always given me exceptional service. And not only in my everyday automobiles, but also in, I have a couple of collector's cars that I am particularly fond of. And when something goes wrong with one of these classics, I can take it over to Gabe's Truck and Auto and feel secure that it will be treated with the tenderness that I require of those particular vehicles. In addition to that, you know, Gabe's Truck and Auto, as the name might imply, also takes care of not only automobiles and light trucks, but motorhomes and big rigs as well. And you were talking a little bit about the big rigs coming up the road. Gabe's Truck and Auto can handle those kind of mechanical jobs that might be necessary. And a couple of years ago, it was interesting also to be aware of that they were given a special award by the Fairbanks Chamber of Commerce. They do a variety of maintenance type jobs over there, including engine and general vehicle maintenance. They also repair automatic transmissions and realign front ends and repair mountain balance tires. And there's one characteristic that they are, one offer that they have over there, and that's regarding their rebuilt engines, which come with a 12-month or 12,000-mile warranty. And if I recall correctly, it was Gabe's Truck and Auto that initiated this no-pass, no-pay policy for their IM inspections. And so the public should be aware that if you don't pass that IM inspection over there at Gabe's, you don't pay. And one other item that is of particular importance, especially in this bad weather that we're coming into right now, and that's Gabe's towing service and the fact that they have three wreckers over there. They're ready to go 24 hours a day. So if you're in need of a wrecker, their number is 456-6156. And, you know, I have put that number in my glove compartment in case something happens and I need a need aid in a hurry. So once again, that number is 456-6156. Gabe's Truck and Auto is located over off Van Horn Road near Metro Field. And of course, like I said earlier, their phone number is 456-6156. And folks, tell them you heard about their business on Alaska Gold Trails with Jim Madonna. Vern, we were talking about the truck drivers and the distance that you could travel in a day. You came in to the Fairbanks area. What month was that?
That was in the month of July.
In July. The first place that you stopped was Eielson Air Force Base. Wasn't that correct?
Well, a young major way over in Canada, he'd stop by and he'd say to me, when you get up to Eielson, we want you to come in and visit. And it just so happened, the day that I was coming up on Eielson, about 10 miles out, this same major came on out there, and I knew the man. I'd seen him four or five times on the highway, and he invited me to see the our great show of the Thunderbirds, and I think that was one of the highlights of the whole trip, Jim.
Oh, is that right? Yeah.
He come out, and it was kind of a little bit strange. Here I am in full Western attire by means of that, my rifle, my lariat, and one little mare. I had to ride spurs with her, and so I got a chance to go in on the base, and I was introduced to the Thunderbirds one by one, and I got a chance to meet the base commander and also General Scott that day. And that was kind of made this old farm boy feel good to sit up there in the bleachers with those fellows and to be welcome as I was. I had to fix a place to tie my horse up while I watched the show, and that was a wonderful thing to watch. I was in the front row, Jim.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Hey, Vern, you got a call here. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I just got a call in and say what an interesting guest you have today.
Well, thank you very much, ma'am.
I'm enjoying every moment of listening to him. Just one question.
Yes.
Who's fixing supper along the way there?
Yours truly is doing it when we put our horses up and got them tethered out for the night, and that was I got blessed I had a lot of visitors, by the way, in the evening if the weather permitted.
You just had your pick of who you wanted to cook supper then.
Yes, I might say so.
That's it. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
After your experience with the coming into Eielson, you came on into Fairbanks then, Vern?
Yes, in a couple of days I was invited by the base commander here in Fairbanks, and I had the luxury of meeting his, it was Colonel Brown, I believe, at that time, and I had a chance to meet with the whole bit out in front of the sign. Now, as you're coming off from airport and right into the base there, I have those pictures, and I'm very, very proud of those pictures with my family, which there was a number of people that came up for the arrival at the milepost, Jim.
Mm-hmm.
And I made comment that I thought that I should have, now I had, Jim, 200 pins, over 200 pins on my hat. And I had made comment to his wife, I thought he had way too much weight on his shoulders. In other words, I was hinting to get one of those LCs to put on my hat. And sure as faith, the next day, in the presence of Dr. Wood, which met me at the milepost, he being the mayor of Fairbanks, a fine gentleman, and the two base commanders were there that day to present me with the ETO pin, which I'm very, very proud of, and also She handed me from the side LC pin from this man's shoulder, and I have it for my hat as well.
That's great. Vern, when did you go into mining up in the Central District?
That was 3 years ago, Jim. I had worked for Silverado Tricon up on Nolan Creek at Wiseman, and I had a very good teacher there. I needed to know more about mining, so Ed Armstrong was the geologist there, and Ed is the type of person you can ask any question. He certainly will answer it for you, and I still have to go back to Ed to get some of my questions answered today.
Did you then, following that experience, you went up to Circle?
Yes, I did.
What kind of sluice box do you use up there?
Well, I have, in one operation, I have one of Hector's from out here at North Pole. It's a very universal type of a box. It is for me in that operation. Jim, what the public probably doesn't know, there are three lanes in that box. And if you're short of water, or if you're having trouble with any problem, you can narrow down and run the center or the two outsides. And this I find very helpful.
Very helpful. That's a characteristic that I hadn't thought of, that if you are low on water, you can run a reduced amount of material through and use a limited amount of water through, less than the full complement of sluices then.
Oh, yes. This is one of the unique things about his type of box, which I enjoy. And this whole country is covered with these boxes. This man's got a tremendous amount of those boxes, and as far as I know, they're very successful, and it's very, at least very successful in my operation. I like that box.
How's the recovery?
Very good. Very, very good. You can check it, and we do it almost daily to see if we're getting too far down the box likes of that. It does a very good job.
Let me ask you a question, Fern. Would you say that if the poor want to get rich and the rich want to get richer, they ought to invest in a Hector sluice box?
Well, yes, I'd have to say that. And also, you should talk to Mr. Hector. He will tell you this, that what I think a lot of our public doesn't know, who are not into mining, that the dirt going up a creek varies so much. And he's got a lot of things he can help you with. This is one of the things that I enjoy about Hector and his creation of his box.
Tell me something. Hector's is located at 13 Mile Richardson Highway out near North Pole. We know that. And their number is 488-6432. So for all of those folks that are interested in the Hector sluice box and perhaps a more versatile unit, as well as a unit that has the capacity to recover finer and finer gold, I suggest that you give Hector's a call at 488-6432. The next question I have, it centers around as after the unless you have another comment on Hector's box.
I do, Jim. I do. Excuse me for interrupting there. But one thing that you must keep in mind, I guess I'm one of the more of the little bit of the larger size, but he will build for you any size box you want. And this is something he is, that's one of his things out there. He will build right down to a one-man show. So this is something I don't think you mentioned, because he builds custom boxes.
Wow, thank you, Vern. Tell me, once you've got your gold, what do you do with it? Where do you take it?
Oh, you mean for sale?
Sure.
Well, the biggest buyers of it for us is Oxford Assaying down there, and that's where my gold goes, is to those people there, because they're very helpful. Very, very helpful there.
They've got a catchy little phrase connected with their name. They call themselves the precious metal people, and that's kind of catching on around the mining community, the precious metal people. That's Oxford Assaying and Refining, your precious metals people.
Well, that they are. When they say that, I imagine you probably have told them about the various type of coins that they carry there, and also large nuggets. If you're interested in this, you can purchase them there just about any time you want to, and they're so good about showing them to you.
Well, they've got a variety of gifts for you, and they've got a variety of services. We want to comment once again that they're at 208 Wendell. Their phone number is 456-3967. Their quote line is 452-7858.
Jim?
Elf. The economic limit factor. You've heard of it. Simply stated, it's an unfair tax break for the oil companies, costing the state over $150 million per year. It's just one issue, but it's mighty important to have that money if we're to fully fund our schools and the university and decrease local homeowners' taxes. Nilo Kopanen wants the oil companies to pay it. His opponent doesn't. In District 21, it's as simple as that.
Paid by Kopanen Campaign, 612 Spruce Wood, Fairbanks.
One little beaver can change the course of a mighty river. Now there's another beaver who's out to change the course of an entire state legislature, Helen Beaver Warner.
The last legislature tried to reinstate the personal income tax. Had they succeeded, it would have cost you and me over $1,000. I'm going to do everything in my power to stop a tax increase, and that's a promise.
When it comes to stopping tax increases, leave it to Beaver.
Paid by the committee to elect Beaver Warner, Box 83816, Fairbanks.
Vern, we're just about out of time here. I want to thank you for appearing on Alaska Gold Trails with me today. And you have a closing comment you'd like to make?
Well, Jim, it's been a pleasure here. I'm a little bit nervous. This is not in my field, but being on the air. But I'll tell you what, I've really enjoyed it. And you keep up this good show. It's very healthy for our community.
Well, thanks again, Vern. Thank Vern Stepp for sharing his time with us today. I also want to thank the listening audience for taking part in the program. Next week's guest is Janice Cowgill. So, folks, until next week, it's been fun. This is Jim Madonna on Alaska Gold Trails. Happy prospecting.
The computer. A lot of computers at colleges, corporations, and government research facilities have been shutting down today because of bugs. A computer virus.
Eventually, it eats away at the essential data in the program, and at that point, bingo, you've lost your program.
Lance Elko, editor of Compute Publications in Greensboro, North Carolina, who says somebody apparently inserted a hidden instruction into a computer program which caused the computer to overload and then to shut down, and that virus has spread around the country. It's shown up at NASA's Langley Research Center in Virginia, at the universities of Pennsylvania and Chicago, and at the Livermore Labs in California, where Star Wars research is being conducted. Bonnie Behringer is a spokesperson for Livermore. She tells us how a computer expert at the labs discovered the virus in the lab's computer system.
When he brought his terminal up, there was something there that didn't look right. The man is very, very bright, became immediately suspicious, and was able to identify it in a very short amount of time, about 15 minutes.
She says no secrets at the Livermore Labs have been compromised. Computer experts now trying to come up with some sort of antidote to that computer virus. More news after this.
Hi, this is Pat Summerall for True Value Hardware, your store of first choice. Before you deliver this year's holiday invitations, make your home more inviting with a fresh coat of True Test paint, like Easy Care Latex Interior Formulas. Choose flat, semi-gloss, gloss, or flat enamel in over 800 designer colors. And TrueTest Easy Care Latex paint starts at just $9.98 a gallon during pre-holiday paint days until November the 6th at participating True Value Hardware stores and home centers.
Liberty Mutual says if each year 9 out of 10 people who bought homeowners insurance from Liberty Mutual stay with Liberty Mutual, maybe they know something you should know too. Maybe they found our homeowners coverage better, our homeowners prices more competitive. Maybe you should have your homeowners insurance with Liberty Mutual too.
Governor Michael Dukakis may lose his voice before the election. He sounded very hoarse today as he outlined a policy that would pump federal dollars to local communities to set up new drug education programs in elementary schools. Dukakis is now in Connecticut after spending much of the day in Pennsylvania. While Vice President Bush campaigned in Ohio and Illinois, his campaign chairman downplayed the polls. Here's ABC's Herbert Kaplow in Washington.
He knows things are looking pretty good, but Jim Baker keeps using the if word. If George Bush is elected, if we win Tuesday, if. The Bush campaign chairman told a National Press Club audience that we don't have this locked up. We don't believe in the absolute validity of polls. Otherwise, Baker said, we are sensitive to charges that we've distorted Dukakis's record. We have not done that, he said. He said when candidate Bush says no new taxes, that means across the board. And when asked about Dan Quayle, whom Baker...